this was a grand idea. The pastor hurries into town, and after much deliberation, he buys a parrot. Unfortunately, not 5 minutes after arriving home, the parrot starts cursing at him. After about an hour, it gets to be too much, and the pastor walks up to the parrot, and he slaps his little beak, and he says, "Be quiet." Well, this just makes the parrot madder. And so he starts swearing at the pastor in even more colorful language. Pastor then decides to put a blanket over the parrot's cage, and the parrot starts to wrestle around with the bars, and he's screeching, and pastor takes off the blanket. Parrot gets even worse. Well, by now, the pastor is pretty mad, and he's fed up with the little parrot, so he grabs the little parrot by its little neck, and he opens up his freezer, and he throws the parrot into the freezer. Wow, yes. Well, the parrot is thrashing around in the freezer for a minute or two, and then complete silence. The pastor becomes worried. Maybe he's hurt the little bird. Maybe he's killed the little bird. So he walks over to the freezer and he opens up the freezer. The parrot climbs out of the freezer and he flaps the ice off of his wings. And he says, "I'm awfully sorry about the trouble that I've caused you, Father. In the future, I will do my very best to improve my vocabulary." Pastor is astounded. He can't believe the sudden transformation that has overcome the parrot. Finally, the parrot turns to the pastor and says, "By the way, what did the chicken do?" So welcome. Welcome to week two of our Dancing with the Stars worship series. Last week, we learned a big fancy word called perichoresis, the dance of God. And it's a word that's used to describe the relationship of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's known as the dance of God. It's the dance of love, the dance of joy, the dance of everything good. A warm embrace, a kind word, puppies and kittens and sunrises and fresh baked chocolate chip cookies, all rolled into one big warm fuzzy. Perichoresis. And this dance is all about God the Father glorifying His Son Jesus, and Jesus the Son glorifying the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit glorifying the Heavenly Father. Last week we looked at Jesus praying in John 17, verse 4. He said, "I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world." To explain this idea of each member of the Trinity bringing glory to the other, I wanted to read an excerpt from a book that is called The Reason for God. I've read from this before. It's written by a pastor named Tim Keller. And on 223, he writes, "What does the term glorify mean? To glorify something or someone is to praise, enjoy, and delight in them. When something is useful, you are attracted to it for what it can bring you or what it can do for you. But if it has been beautiful, then you enjoy it simply for what it is. Just being in its presence is its own reward. To glorify someone is also to serve or defer to him or her. Instead of sacrificing their interests to make yourself happy, you sacrifice your interests to make them happy. Why? Your ultimate joy is to see them enjoy. What does it mean then that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit glorify one another? If we think of it graphically, we could say that self-centeredness is to be stationary, to be static, doesn't move. In self-centeredness, we demand that others orbit around us. We will do things and give affection to others as long as it helps to meet our personal goals and fulfill us. The inner life of the triune God, however, is utterly different. The life of the Trinity is characterized not by self-centeredness, but by mutually self-giving love. When we delight and serve someone else, we enter into a dynamic orbit around him or her. We center on the interests and desires of the other. That creates a dance, particularly if there are three persons, each of whom moves around the other too. So it is, the Bible tells us. Each of the divine persons centers upon the others. None demands that the others revolve around him. Each voluntarily circles the other two, pouring love, delight, and adoration into them. Each person of the Trinity loves, adores, defers to, and rejoices in the others. That creates a dynamic, pulsing dance of love and joy. The early leaders of the Greek church called this perichoros, the dance of God. Okay, so the Holy Trinity is dancing around each other. Let's go back to the scripture we looked at last week, right? And if you recall, we looked at the last verses of John 16, the beginning verses of John 17. And the scene is from the Last Supper. Jesus is telling his disciples that things are about to get a little rocky. Put your seatbelts on, boys. The road's going to get a little bumpy. He didn't say that. He could have. But he says, not to worry, because I have things under control. But take heart, he says, I have overcome the world. Then Jesus prays to his heavenly Father and says, it's time to finish the job I came here to do, and I'm happy to do it, because I know that it will bring you glory. Specifically, that is verse 4, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. Now, verses 6 through 19, the verses that we're skipping over from last week's scripture to this one, I want to condense it and give you the summary because it's pretty important stuff. Jesus prays for the disciples. Jesus says to God the Father, I told them about you. I revealed you to them, and they have obeyed your word. And Father, I need you to protect them from the world. Verse 14 says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. Protect them, specifically from the evil one. And then, getting into verse 20, Jesus prays for all of us. Listen to this. Verse 20, he says, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, their being the disciples. How cool is that? That he's listing us in the verse. I pray for those who will believe in the disciples' message. That's us. He says to his heavenly Father, may they be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. So Jesus is praying for unity. then Jesus says something that is absolutely mind-blowing. Chapter 17, verse 22, he says, I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them as you are in me. What? Did you catch that? God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit are dancing around this great dance of love. And they are loving each other, and they are liking each other. And they go left, and they go right, and they go up, and they go down. And then Jesus does something different. Think about this, right? They have been having these dance moves through all eternity. And they probably have them pretty grooved by then. They know exactly what they're doing. And they, right? In the dance of God's love, they're always looking at the other. They're always looking at the other. So the Holy Spirit's looking at God the Father, God the Son. So they're grooving, right? And then Jesus does something different. He creates an entirely new move. In the timeless, infinite dance of love, God the Father and the Holy Spirit are watching Jesus, and Jesus does something entirely different, entirely new. He invites us to share in his joy and his glory. I have given them the glory you gave me. So we are invited into God's dance. We are invited into this dance of joy. That is what Jesus wants us to do. And from here on out, that is his signature move. You know what a signature move is, right? It's the move somebody becomes famous for. Jesus' signature move is to invite us to the dance. The dance of joy. And the question that I have for all of you fine people here at West Willow United Methodist Church this morning is, how will you respond? Will you jump in and start dancing right away? Will you be a wallflower and stand on the sidelines? Or will you be too distracted with the concerns of the world to even notice Jesus' invitation to join in the dance? While there are 1,000 ways to respond to this invitation, with the time left, I want to focus for us just on 3. The first response is what I call the embrace. And it looks like this. Do me a favor. Put your arms out. Don't whack the person in front of you. Okay? Waiting on my wife. Okay, put your arms out. And then hug. Hug. Right? A hug. That is the embrace. That is the embrace. Jesus invites us into the dance, and we think to ourselves, that sounds perfectly reasonable. You are a God of love. You love us. That makes sense, so I will step right into the dance. You know who the perfect example in the Bible is of embracing God's love, embracing his dance? Mary. The Virgin Mary. An angel from heaven comes down to earth, greets her, and says she is going to become pregnant through the Holy Spirit, and her son is going to be God on earth. And her response is, okay, I'm all right with that. Now, she had a couple questions, right? She's like, I've never really been with a man before. I'm going to get pregnant. How's that? Angel says, don't worry about it. He said, the Holy Spirit is going to take everything. I mean, that's a really good question, right? At the end of the conversation, though, Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be to me be fulfilled. In other words, okay, let's go. Let's dance. Many of you have embraced God's invitation in the same way, with with an embrace. God, I believe your word. God, I believe in your goodness. God, I believe in your love. Let's go. Let's dance. You know what? All of us have that ability to make that choice. Will we? We don't always respond that way, though, do we? Which brings me to response number two. The second way to respond to God's invitation to dance is what I call the don't stand too close. And here's what it looks like. Put your arm out. Everybody participate. Put your arm out. Now put your hand up. Turn your head and say, uh-uh. Uh-uh. Turn your head away from your arm. Uh-uh. Uh-uh. So Jesus comes to you and says he would like you to join him and his heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit in the great dance of love, of joy, of Penn State football wins. Woo! Doesn't get more joyful than that. And you look at Jesus and you say, uh-uh. Don't stand too close. You know who the perfect example of this was in the Bible? Who? Jonah. Jonah could be. Well, that was Old Testament. I didn't. In the New Testament, right? It was Thomas. It was Thomas that said, I'm not going to get too close. After the resurrection, Jesus comes back to life. He visits the disciples, and Thomas says, until I see the holes in your hands, and I can put my hand into your side, which is kind of gross, I won't believe what you say. How many people respond to God's invitation like this? God, I want proof that you're real. God, I want proof that you really love me. God, I want proof. And we hold them off. And this response, it might be justified. We might have gotten hurt in the past, and you think, if God really loved me, he wouldn't have let me get hurt. We might have lost somebody, a loved one, a family member in the past. We think, if God really loved me, he wouldn't have let that happen. Or we see all the trouble in the world. We see the hurricanes and the floods and the wildfires and the earthquakes and the mass shootings, and we think, I don't want to stand too close to a God that would let that happen. And we sit, and so we hold God off at a distance. And because God is gentle, and God is kind, and God gives us free will, he says, okay, I'll let you have your space. God is a gentleman above all else. Okay, so we have our embrace, right? We have our don't stand too close. Arm up, hand up, head turn. There's one more response, and I call this the dive. Put your hands together. Okay, you can clap if you want. Put your hands together. Go like this. The dive. Dive. This one's a little scary, right? It's the scariest of all three because it takes the most faith. The dive happens when you are looking at Jesus and you are looking at the Holy Spirit and you are looking at the Heavenly Father and you see the dance of love, you see the dance of joy, and you see the dance of kindness and forgiveness and mercy, and then you see Jesus doing his signature move, his invitation for you to join in the dance and invite you to share in the joy, and you dive in. That's your move. You dive in. Perfect example of the dive in the Bible is Peter, Paul, Mary. I put Peter. Jesus rises from the dead, and John and Peter are fishing, and they see this man walking along the shore, and the man shouts out, "How's it going? They've been fishing all night. They haven't caught a thing." And they say, "Well, it's not going well." And he says, "Try the other side of the boat. Let your nets down on the other side one more time." And what happens, right, is the nets become completely full of fish to the point where the boat is almost capsizing. At that point, John says to Peter, "It's the Lord." And what does Peter do? Jumps in. Bible says he jumps. I think he dives, right? He dives in the water. He's so excited to see Jesus. Where if you think about this, this is crazy. This does not make sense. When's the last time Peter saw Jesus? The night he was betrayed. And what did Peter do? He denied him 3 times. If there was ever a personal failure that was horrible, he denied Jesus. And yet this is the very next time. And Peter he sheds all that. He sheds that guilt and shame. And he says, "I see Jesus. It is the Lord. I am diving in." Here's what I think Peter saw. He saw the dance. He saw the joy. He wasn't worried about the water, how cold it was, that he had clothes on. He said, "It is the Lord, and I am going," and he went. My friends, would you all consider diving into God's great love with me today? Would you consider putting your doubts and your hurts and your worries to the side and diving into the great dance with me? Because when you do, amazing things happen. You might say, as I have said sometimes, "God, there's not a lot of things that are perfect in my life right now, but I have my eyes on you. And I'm watching Jesus' signature move right now. I am watching him invite me into his dance to share his glory, and I am diving in. God, I have dreams that haven't come true. I have hopes that have been shattered to pieces. I have doubts sometimes that overwhelm me. But I see the dance of love, and I see Jesus' invitation to share that joy, and I am diving in." God, we see the terrible mess the world is in. And as if the hurricanes and the earthquakes and the wildfires weren't enough, we humans do much worse. We kill each other out of anger and hate. We let children starve because we don't want to change our lifestyle. And we don't believe you, God, can keep us safe, so we surround ourselves with guns and bombs and tanks. Yet if we lift up our eyes above the death and the suffering, above the heartache and the misery, we see the dance. We see what life should look like. We see what our life could look like. One marked with exuberance and elation, triumph and victory. And we see once again Jesus' invitation to join in the dance, to share his joy, to share his love. And I say, and hopefully you say, "I am diving in today, right now." God, please forgive us for taking so long to join the dance. Your invitation has always been there. Your arms have always been open wide. Fear and doubt and worry have kept us away, but not today. Today we choose to join the great dance of love. We choose to feel your warm embrace, to know that you are God. Today we are diving in. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, give us the courage to dive in today to your great love, to your great joy, to your mercy, your kindness, your forgiveness. If we do, that will change everything. Help us take that step. Give us the courage. Take away our fear. Help us live the life of love that you've meant for us to live from the day we have been born. Help us join in the great dance of love. Help us dive in today. We lift up this service. We lift up our lives through the powerful, amazing name of Jesus. Amen.